Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Minister for Health, Simon Harris, has said that he thought it's unlikely that pubs could reopen as normal until there's a vaccine for coronavirus. Separately, in an interview with the Irish Examiner newspaper, the economist Dr. Alan Ahern suggested that a euro increase on the price of a pint and a 10 euro COVID supplement for a meal could be part of the way out of the economic crisis that many pubs and restaurants are facing. I'm joined now by economist Dr. Alan Ahern, who's also director of the Whittaker Institute of Economics at NUI Galway. Alan Ahern, thank you very much for joining us. Now, you made this suggestion of the euro on the pint and the tenner on the meal to help the pub and the restaurant trade. It doesn't, though, seem to have gone down very well with some of them. Let's have a listen to Noel Anderson. He's MD of Lemon and Duke and The Bridge in Dublin. He was talking to Sean O'Rourke a little earlier. Sean asked him if he thought the suggestion of the additional euro on the pint was feasible.
No. I don't think the consumers would be too happy with that prospect, but it should probably come from the other side around excise. Like, we're going to have significant asks around VAT and excise when we get out of this, but I think there's a stage before that is actually to keep us all viable and surviving till that point. I mean, the pub sector contributes 2.4 billion euros in VAT and excise to the economy every year, and we're going to need assistance now, and then possibly that euro should come from excise until we can get back going again.
That was a fairly strong no, Alan Ahern, from Noel Anderson there with Sean O'Rourke earlier. How would you sell this idea to both the publicans and the punters?
Well, it's up to the publicans themselves, or in fact any businesses that's in this situation, whether they want to raise their prices or not. It's totally voluntary. It's up to them. The difficulty they're going to have, whether it's a restaurant or a coffee shop or a pub or these businesses, is that even when they start to open up, physical distancing will have to be satisfied, and so the amount of customers that they can let into their shops or pubs or whatever will be very restricted. Now, if they can, on lower volumes with lower amount of customers, if they can over the next few months or the next 18 months or 2 years till the vaccine arrives, if they can get enough revenues without raising their prices, then well and good. But I think a lot of them may not get enough revenues because the volumes will be constrained by trying to satisfy social distancing. We know, for example, in Hong Kong today, they've started to open some of the restaurants, but they've taken away half or two-thirds of the tables. So although the restaurant might be full, they only have half or a third of the business that they used to have, and therefore they may need to have higher prices in order to get enough revenues to come in order to be able to cover the cost of wages.
Yeah, it's a high-volume business, isn't it? You need to be turning tables very quickly. You need to be selling volume to make enough money. For some of them, Alan Ahern, they couldn't open under those restrictions. It wouldn't be financially probably worth their while.
That's why I thought that maybe they may have room to raise their prices, because when they do open up, as you said, they won't have enough as many customers coming in as they would like to have because they're constrained. They have to keep people separately, but they will have expenses. They'll have to pay the wages, pay some fixed costs, maybe pay rent and stuff like that, and therefore they will need a lot of revenue, coming in. And this is one way of getting the revenues. And look, when they could put down the prices again when the vaccine arrives, and they can fill up their shops and pubs again. But while during the period in which they are constrained, they'll need to get. And it's much better, I think, much better if they open up, albeit under very strict physical distancing conditions, and charge a bit higher to people who are coming in than for them not to open up at all. If we're talking about 18 months, 2 years before a lot of these sort of businesses
There is the big question, of course, will punters be prepared or even financially able, because everyone is going to be in more straitened times if they've been on the COVID payment and maybe their employment doesn't open up together. Again, will they be able to pay additional money to go for a pint? But look, I don't want to spend the whole interview talking about the price of a pint in a euro or not a euro. Let's talk about small businesses. They're the backbone of this country. And what's the window here in terms of trying to get businesses back to work?
I don't think we can pick any particular date, but it will be crucial that we try to get as many of these small businesses open again. And the way to do that, at least in the short run, is clear. that that credit and cash provided to these businesses. So, so if they have fixed costs, they can meet them. The worry is, I think, that as these restrictions go on longer and longer, and as these businesses get revenues aren't coming in, if they're accumulating debts, at some point they'll just have too many debts. And so I think we may need a more extensive program to help these businesses in time. At the time, but at the moment, it's very, very important that these businesses are provided with credit. We don't want businesses closing down. Most of the vast bulk of these businesses in February of this year were viable and they were doing good trade, and they have been shut down, shuttered, and therefore we want them to reopen and hire the workers that they had before and get their businesses open again. So it's very important that the government provide support to these businesses.
And the types of support. You were talking about ultra-cheap loans today. How would you design those loans? Where do they come from? And does the state underwrite them?
The state would have to underwrite them. I mean, otherwise, banks are not going to make loans to businesses that who over time, whose creditworthiness may look shakier and shakier. So we've seen lots of countries introduce these sort of credit guarantee schemes. And there is one at the moment in Ireland. It covers 80% of loans, but I think it needs to have to, it would need to be more extensive. I think that 80% number needs to be much higher.
100%?
Some of the countries have 100%. And it needs to be given out quickly. So I think at least over the next few weeks and possibly months, very important to have a government guarantee scheme. And the thing about that, if it's government guarantee, the Irish government can borrow at a zero interest rate, and therefore that benefit can be passed on. So it could be with interest rates that are very close.
And that is the big difference, isn't it, to when you were advising the Minister for Finance when the country went bust 10 years ago, the last major economic shock in this country. Is that the big difference, and is that what could make the difference here in terms of recovery?
Oh, I think there's lots of differences, but on the cost of the borrowing, that is a key one, that if you go back to 2010 and 2011, the cost of borrowing for the Irish government and for other governments in the euro area was extremely high. It was loans of 5, 6, 7%, where at the moment, because the ECB has been much more aggressive this time, much more supportive of governments, essentially the Irish government and lots of governments in the euro area can borrow at zero. So that's a really crucial difference and is very helpful.
Other differences?
I mean, the other key difference is if you go back to the last time we were dealing with a bursting of a bubble and therefore had parts of the economy which were no longer sustainable and couldn't be rescued because they relied on credit growth of 30% and they relied on credit bubbles. That's not true this time. At the start of this year, or go back to last year, there was no credit bubble. We had a strong economy with full employment. And so a lot of these sectors and a lot of these businesses are viable and they're sustainable, but they need support to get them through, to get them through the crisis.
And just briefly, to get the show on the road again, how important is it to start opening back up the economy very quickly?
I think economists shouldn't be giving that sort of advice. It's the health experts. I'm not an epidemiologist. I can barely pronounce the word. So it's up to the public health experts to determine the path of opening up. And what will most decisively deal with the virus. So they need to determine that, and then it'll be up to government and others to determine how to respond to that and how best to support the economy, support people, support workers, and support the businesses, given the path of those health measures in order to try to support them while things are closed and get them to open up as successfully as possible.
Dr. Alan Ahern from NUI Galway, thank you very much indeed for